Welcome back to the podcast. Today, a $10,000 Wuling Bingguo, the Buick Electra L7, and Xiaomi rule out European production. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you about how Chinese EV drivers are preparing for the big holiday surge. Welcome to EV News China, the podcast dedicated to the world's largest EV market. Every day, we bring you the latest headlines, insights, and analysis from the heart of China's booming EV industry and decode how fast-moving developments in the East are shaping the global EV landscape. Wuling's new Bingguo S marks a shift in China's small EV market. It's adding technology and quality to the affordable end of the segment like we've never seen before, positioned between the entry-level Bingguo and the Bingguo Plus, which is the SUV. This starts at 63,800 yuan after what they call trade-in support. It features a 32 or 42 kilowatt hour pack, both are LFP, by the way, for up to 430 kilometers of CLTC range. Despite using LFP chemistry, some rivals have stuck with ternary chemistries, most in China. 80% of the market's gone LFP. Its energy management keeps efficiency really high. The cabin is really well equipped at this price point. A 12.8-inch touchscreen, Bluetooth, 6 speakers, 4 airbags, cruise control, different drive modes, standard across all trims, higher variants adding heated seats, a 360-degree camera, wireless charging for your phone, and AI-enabled infotainment with CarPlay and HiCar. By combining the advanced connectivity with really competitive range and yet pricing well below 100,000 yuan, the Bingguo S redefines what budget EVs are offering in China. It brings digital features, once reserved for more premium models, to that $10,000 equivalent price point, extending way beyond city use. This would meet the expectations of any modern connected driver in China that wanted a vehicle that would maybe do the occasional long trip and just suit more purposes than being a strict urban city car. The competition in China just keeps getting more and more intense, doesn't it? And now the quality being raised at these very low price points. Let's move on. Xiaomi's Middle East GM confirming there are no immediate plans to build electric cars in Turkey as the company concentrates on Europe's competitiveness and fast-evolving EV market over here, whilst rivals like BYD and Chery are investing billions in Turkish factories to benefit from the EU customs union. Xiaomi say they're keeping production centered in China and parts of Europe as well. Turkey's EV market is rapidly expanding. They even have their own domestic EV market with TOGG, T-O-G-G, their domestic EV producer. Registrations in Turkey doing pretty well. It's not a massive EV market, but nearly 290,000 vehicles registered, led by BYD, but also TOGG and Tesla as well. Although Xiaomi assembles smartphones locally through a partner there, its vehicle production remains anchored at its vast Beijing facility. And the SU7, developed with BAIC, the brand aims for 10,000 global retail stores by 2030, but prefers a steady rollout to reinforce trust, they say, as competitors experiment with localized production in Europe and Turkey to manage tariffs, get around tariffs and incentives and things like that. Xiaomi's cautious path may delay its regional presence, but probably positions it to enter with maybe some stronger foundations. Let's move on. Fast charging has rarely been a strong point for plug-in hybrids, but Dongfeng's Voyah Passion L changes all that. Has got a 5C charging rate. Now, the C rate is a measure of charge and discharge on electric vehicles. I won't go into it now, but 2 to 3C is pretty good. A 5C rate on a 63 kilowatt hour battery means you can do 20 to 80 in about 12 minutes. And C rate is, you know, not only a measure of how fast the battery charges, which we often think of as peak charge rate, but also it refers to the charge rate over time as well. So the curve is very important, and this makes it one of China's quickest charging plug-in hybrids, a remarkable step forward in hybrid electrification as well. So what kind of car is the Dongfeng Voyah Passion L? Okay, it's a sedan to start with. It's 5.13 meters long and a 3 meter wheelbase, which is pretty big by sedan standards. A very refined five-seat interior with wooden trim, a big 16.1-inch 3K screen powered by the Huawei Harmony Space 5 system. Luxury details like zero gravity, massaging seats, 23-speaker sound system. It's not bad, is it? And built-in refrigerator, which I haven't looked, but probably heats as well, because so many of the Chinese cars have that feature, let's face it. Power comes from a 1.5-litre engine, which produces 110 kilowatts. Now, that particular setup using the 1.5-litre engine is, I mean, it's really common, particularly in China, with EREVs and with plug-in hybrids as well. So I'm not surprised to see that here. But what's it mated to? Well, it's also paired with dual electric motors, which are 150 and 230 kilowatts apiece. So this is some serious business. The result is strong acceleration, CLTC electric-only range. Again, CLTC is not real world, but is interesting to at least compare like for like. 410 kilometers CLTC. And total range, again, not a massive fan of this, but the Chinese tend to be doing it quite a lot lately. Total range of 1,400 kilometers, because what they do is they add the fuel and they add the batteries all together, and yeah, that's kind of a bit of a fudge, but it's the big number that they're all going with, and you know, 1400 kilometers isn't even one of the biggest numbers. You know, 1900 2000 kilometers are some of the big numbers that they are putting out. So what's this look like? Well, I mean, from the side angle, not a million miles away from a premium BMW or Audi, there's bits of, I would say, Lucid Air sedan in this, maybe not from the front angle, a bit more of a slab stand-up grille at the front, but a very swooping roofline in two-colour trim, by the way. You know, when they paint the roof a different colour, sort of very Rolls-Royce-y. In its two-colour trim, it looks very, very premium, and they've got some premium wheels on the thing as well. So inside, very plush materials, that huge screen, definitely one of the top-end EVs. And looking at the rear seats with, you know, the big fold-down kind of, it's more than an armrest, because it's got all the controls for the car in that, what is effectively the armrest between the two rear passengers. This is definitely, I would say, a vehicle that is designed for you to be driven in as well. Really impressive. And at the end of the day, it's a plug-in hybrid, which is just crazy good charge speeds in that. Wow, very, very impressive indeed. Now, let's talk about the premium new energy brand under Dongfeng, which is Voyah. So a couple of days ago in Beijing, they unveiled their new Taishan and opened global pre-orders on this. Yep, you heard me correctly. Global pre-orders on this next car. And again, I think this is something a little bit special, but we'll get into it. So if you are interested in Voyah, and particularly the Taishan, it completes Voyah's three flagship lineup. So it goes alongside the Dream, which is the MPV, and the sedan I just told you about, named after China's Mount Tai. I hope I said that correctly. The SUV blends natural landscape, they say, with architectural design to redefine Chinese luxury. And again, they've done the same with this in the photographs that have been provided today, in that two-tone body color. And they've used the same colors in the previous car that I was just talking about. Just really, really special looking vehicle. So this one, a little more premium, but the pricing is still, you know, still fantastic. I'll get on to some other things after I give you the specs, which is, you know, important. 800 volt architecture in this. So it uses their hybrid system, like I just mentioned, the Lanhai hybrid system, 800 volt, 5C ultra fast charging. Again, 65 kilowatt hour pack in here with 230 miles or 370 kilometers CLTC and 1400 again, which is 870 miles of combined range. This thing is just a big, big SUV, ride and handling featuring triple chamber air suspension with EDC Magic Carpet Function. I love the fact they've branded it the Magic Carpet Function, but it's effectively millisecond level road adaption. It's got 16 degree rear wheel steering in this. So that's a 5.4 meter turning radius or 17.7 foot turning radius. Again, this very, very premium. And so that premium brand under Dongfeng, Voya, which is, making some very, very premium cars. Again, this thing looking really nice. And hopefully I said China's Mount Tai, correctly. Apologies if not. Let's talk about Buick introducing the Electra L7. Again, an EREV, extended range electric sedan. Classified as a mid to large model, I think, on this one. Deliveries begin October 20th. Starting price, 169,900 RMB, which is $23,820. Buick moved straight to market launch rather than pre-sales to speed timing ahead of planned reductions in Chinese EV subsidies, which are coming, by the way. And so some of the car makers are saying, well, if you miss out, if you place an order and we can't get the car to you quick enough and you miss out on the subsidies, you know, we'll front you that, as it were, or we'll chip in. 3 meter wheelbase on this and 5.03 meters long. So again, it's a very premium. I know they said, you know, mid to large, but in my mind, in my market, at least here in the UK, you know, 3 meter wheelbase and a 5 meter plus sedan, I think puts it in the large territory. This one, looking a little more swoopy, a little more modern. The front, unlike that Voya that we just talked about, which had almost a Rolls Royce grille, very, very vertical at the front, not very aero-friendly. This one is much more swoopy. Think sort of Tesla fronts and the typical Chinese front end with the thin headlights and, you know, obviously designed to be very aero. But starting at less than 24,000 US, offered in five variants. List pricing starts there, but goes up to 220,000 RMB. Discount at the moment if you get an order in. Powertrain is Buick's Zhenlong EREV system. Really common, 1.5-litre engine as a range extender, never drives the wheels. Electric motor, which is about 340 horsepower. A GM's 40-kilowatt-hour Ultium battery pack. And believe it or not, 40 kilowatt hours is quite on the small side for China's EREVs these days. There's going to be some EREVs this year, 70. Next year, I think 80 kilowatt hours in extended range EVs. At what point do you just have a massive battery and an engine? But it seems to be what some segments of the market are calling out for. The electric-only range is 188 miles or 302 kilometres. They give the big number, 1,420 kilometres. Acceleration, 0 to 62, 5.9 seconds. This is a really big premium sedan, and you might call it a liftback or a fastback because it has got the big boot opening is swoopy at back. The roof line really drops down quite quickly for aero reasons, and so a very, very good looking car, a very low price. Let's take that's sort of pretty much that phrase on repeat on EV News China. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and lots more to talk about. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to EV News China. Let's talk BYD putting their latest car carrier into service, the BYD Jinan, their eighth vehicle carrier. The company announcing it on Weibo. The ship is named for Jinan in the Shandong province, the site of one of BYD's big vehicle plants. BYD said the maritime fleet is now fully assembled. There's no immediate plans to go further than eight car carriers. On average, about 7,000 vehicles, but three of them can carry almost 10,000 vehicles, and together BYD ships support an annual export capacity of about a million vehicles overseas. BYD sold 373,500 NEVs in August, slightly up year on year. I mean, very small amount, and a big increase from July, and a lot of exports as well. Overseas sales in August, I haven't got all of September's numbers in the books yet, but the August numbers overseas, 80,813. And that's not just to Europe. That's not just, I know I talk about a lot of Chinese cars coming to Europe. It's Southeast Asia. It's the rest of the world as well. But that's a big increase. BYD's increase this year in overseas sales could put them between 800,000 and a million vehicles in 2025 shipped overseas outside of mainland China. BYD said the first model to be produced at its Hungarian factory will be the Seagull. BYD is also deploying Europe's megawatt chargers next year. No indication on hardware choice, where they're going to be, and what vehicles could even take 1,000 kilowatts of charging. Chery has launched its renewed lineup, the Tiggo 9 lineup in China, introducing the 2025 Tiggo 9, the Tiggo 9X, and the Tiggo 9 CDM plug-in hybrid, with early bird pricing available during the National Day holiday. Starting prices range from around $20,000 US. That's 148,000 yuan. For the Tiggo 9X and $23,500 for the plug-in hybrid version. The new Tiggo 9 receives a mid-cycle update. This one's gone for a 2-litre turbo engine, 192 kilowatts of power out of that, and a 7-speed dual clutch or 8-speed automatic transmission. So it's a plug-in hybrid. And the new trim adding adaptive suspension, Bluetooth, key, 12-speaker system, big dual screen cockpit, 24.6 inch cockpit. The Tiggo 9 CDM uses their hybrid system with a front motor, delivering outputs of about 165 kilowatts on the electric motor, 106 kilometers pure EV range, smaller battery on this one. The Tiggo 9X, the shorter version, with a new bumper design, new minimalist interior, and advanced tech like the Snapdragon 8255 chip, helping with driver assist systems and navigate on autopilot. Targeting China's mid-size SUV market, the Tiggo 9 family rivals the likes of the Hongqi HS5, the Xceed Yaguang, and GAC's GS8. Now, cars are becoming a mass-deployed AI device. AI is becoming the central force in vehicle innovation, redefining how cars are developed, connected, and even operated. At the World New Energy Vehicle Congress in Haikou, Horizon Robotics president Chen Liming said the automotive industry is entering an AI-defined phase after moving from hardware to software-defined vehicles. Intelligent cockpits, autonomous driving are going to merge into cabin driving fusion, turning cars into just big battery-powered AI agents, the first mass-deployed AI systems in the physical world, they said. Chen highlighting three transformations. AI-driven development is replacing coding approaches, pushing automakers towards data-centered software processes. Advances in model training and inference are improving safety, adaptability, and performance, accelerating the path to level 3, maybe even level 4 autonomy. At the same time, supply chains are evolving into these dense networks of partnerships connecting capital, tech, and product design as well. He noted that AI's growing complexity demands massive compute and tighter coordination between vehicles, the cloud, and infrastructure. Real-time decisions must complement cloud-based training to balance performance and energy efficiency. Strategically, Chen expects only about 20% of automakers to maintain full-stack R&D, as most shift towards full-stack controllability, described as that, combining internal innovation with ecosystem partnerships and scale and cost efficiency at mind there. And finally, China is preparing for a holiday travel surge, expecting 2.36 billion, yeah, 2.36 billion trips during the 8-day National Day and Mid-Autumn Festival holiday beginning on Wednesday and ending October the 8th, with daily travel averaging about 295 million trips. That's up on last year by 3%. Passenger flows may peak at over 340 million on the first day of the holidays and again at the end as people return home. Self-driving journeys, not autopilot, but people driving themselves, not on public transport, will reach 1.87 billion. Highway traffic will peak above 70 million vehicle trips daily. 14 million of those 70 million will be in EVs. Authorities are now urging Chinese EV drivers to plan ahead and plan your charging stops, while service areas are adding more charging piles and mobile units are being rolled out to meet the demand. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening to EV News China. I'll see you on the next one.